哎，起码子有，可没有？我。啊！
Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you. How are you guys doing? Welcome back to The Dean Show. If you have not subscribed, subscribe right now. Hit the notification bell so you can get all the latest shows sent to you. Now, did you guys see that video that went viral of that kid, Jamal, who was in school? You send your kid to school, you go to school to learn, and then he ends up getting bullied, ends up getting traumatized. Well, that's why I have my next guest here. We're going to be touching upon this. He is the new champion at the Brave Combat Federation.
Yes.
Brother Abdul Karim, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, I'm good.
How you been?
Great, great. Everything's been good so far.
Let's go ahead and we'll get right into it. Let's watch this video and we'll kick it off from there of young Jamal, who was just recently bullied. I mean, this is like, just traumatized with his broken arm and whatnot for the people that haven't seen it, and we'll kick it off from there. How's that?
All right, Jamal, y'all. Come here. What?
What's your reaction when you see something like that? What's the first thing that goes through your mind? Because you actually contribute to help in bully prevention, no?
You know, first reaction I get is like, I get disgusted, you know? You know, how could this happen? How could people be doing this? And then at the same time, it also gives me more motivation to try to spread out more awareness, to try to teach more kids about self-defense so things like this wouldn't happen anymore. I felt like if more kids had the confidence, they had the self-defense to be able to defend themselves under such situations, we would have less, things like this going on.
We got to spend a little bit of time together. You're actually you just won this belt. I got this big belt here for everybody to see. This is from the what is this? The Brave Combat Federation.
Yeah.
So we got to spend a little bit of time together. We had some nice training, and we went over some self-defense moves.
So those techniques were actually very great techniques. We also worked some specific techniques from the video we just saw, like the positions Jamal was in, things that, you know, he could have done. And then other than that, we also went over some other techniques that were just, you know, more for self-defense, just different positions, different techniques. And I think they're very good, and they help a lot for people to work on those techniques that we just showed.
What concerns me is that it's nowadays you have this climate that's been created. You know, a lot of this manufactured fear of Islam and Muslims. When I say manufactured, like, because it's kind of, if you compare it to when you go to, if someone goes to the movies, they watch them on TV, and those film flicks are meant to scare you. A horror movie, right? That's manufactured, right? It's not real.
Yeah.
They're manufacturing something to scare you. So there's a deliberate attempt by some people, and then also people who are ignorant about Islam, never met a Muslim or whatnot. And now that's, I call it manufactured fear, because really you had nothing to fear of Islam. You have nothing to fear of Brother Abdul Karim, from Eddie, from The Dean Show. You know, until you've made that connection, you've looked into Islam to see what it's about, you've met a Muslim, you've interacted, but then you have someone who's also, who's done a despicable thing, this person at the school, but that person also becoming a victim by many of these hate mongers and people who are out there pumping these kids up, and then they go and bully and commit a criminal crime, terrorize a young, innocent kid like Jamal.
Yeah, 100%. Like what you said, it's all manufactured. Like, the people out there that, you know, they're against Islam, and they think of Islam as like a hate religion, to me, really, they're just ignorant. They don't know the truth. Like, it's impossible for them to know the truth and still think the same. I'm pretty sure they don't have any Muslim neighbors or any Muslim friends, because if they did...
Honestly, if a Muslim family moved next door to you, you would be the happiest person in the world. First of all, the chances of your kids getting in trouble just went way down, okay? Went way down, because the Muslim community has the lowest crime rate, the highest entrepreneurship, the highest educational attainment for women in the country. They are the model American community.
They would see the truth. A lot of my friends, you know, after a while, they open up and say, you know what, I really didn't expect this. You know, when I first knew you were Muslim, I kind of kept my distance. But, you know, after being closer with you, training with you even, they're like, we got to see, like, the true image. And I feel like it's a responsibility for us Muslims, also here Muslims in America, to show exactly what our religion is about, and it's about peace. So, you know, the more people start to see, the more they get to learn, and they'll know the truth. But then you have, like, I don't know, some media, the movies or all that, they give you that manufactured lies of, like, how, you know, this religion is, it's a hate religion and extremist and all that stuff. And then they have, like, some certain group that does something crazy, then they just stereotype for the whole religion. But I see in my eyes, the more, you know, our fellow Americans get to meet Muslims, the more they get to love their religion more, and just they see this the peace and love.
So you've had situations where you have friends who now have gotten affected, because, I mean, you just can't help. Sometimes if, you know, I turn on Fox News or I'd watch it, you know, just to kind of feel, you know, feel what's out there, what's being said. And sometimes you just get, your stomach starts to turn, right? Then I can imagine someone else who gets affected by the media, and now you develop this trepidation, this fear, and now fear will cause you to do unreasonable and irrational things, like this kid did against Jamal. But then, if I'm understanding correctly, so then you've had some of these friends who hung out with you and just connected with you, and then they've totally had a shift?
Yeah. So I never really experienced like a hate type of situation, but after a while, when, you know, we just get open, they're like, by the way, you know, when we first met, I kind of kept my distance, but now, you know, knowing you and just knowing more about your life and your religion, you know, I think it's nice. And they want to know more about the culture, they want to know more about the religion, and I think, like I said, it's a responsibility for me, especially like being an MMA fighter and having a big platform to represent, you know, Islam more, and to show people really what it's about. Because just like how the media is attacking, you need to defend and show what it is. You know, I'm not saying show anything else, show exactly what the religion is, which is peace and love. And I feel like it's a big responsibility to show that and to share it with everyone else, you know, be it your friends, your Muslim friends, your non-Muslim friends, just strangers, you know, a simple smile, salam alaikum, peace be upon you. You know, all of that is a great step to move forward.
Now, we went over some technical things that Jamal, if he was equipped, he could have done. We went over the person grabs your neck, yeah. We drilled that. And then some other variations of that, you know, how to take the person down, if someone throws a punch. We went over all these different aspects. So that kind of really shows that, because this martial art, specifically what we were going over, developed by the Gracie family, and they, as it began with someone, Helio, who was much smaller and able to fight off a much bigger guy. So that's one of the advantages, that if somebody is equipped there to defend themselves. But how would you now? And I don't think they would have stepped up to you now, right? Yeah. And usually Jamal, he's much smaller and whatnot. But how would you? How would you, if in this situation, like, how would you handle the situation if you saw or whatnot? What would you have
so
done?
So for me, since I was a kid, I would always, you know, stand for the weak, you know? Yeah. And it was really bad, not only because of the bullying situation going on and the water in the mouth and stuff, but also you could see Jamal's hand
broken.
His arm was broken. Yeah, he had a cast on. So like what could he really do? You know, And that brought to my attention where it bothered me, where like you could hear the kids around laughing, you know, like there should have been kids around there to stand for him and to stop what's going on, you know. Even if, you know, he knew self-defense, you know, we're not always saying always attacking is the right thing to do, you know. But there should have also been other people around, like students or kids that same age, to at least defend Jamal. So you can tell it was like a group thing. It wasn't just a one-on-one kid, you know. They mm-hmm. had the kid filming, you had the kid bullying, you had the other kids around laughing and just cheering him on. And it's just very disrespectful.
That's even more sad, exactly what you said, that now if this is going on, that instead of egging him on, you know what I mean, everybody's yeah. sitting back and like pumping him up and taking pictures yeah. and videos, that somebody doesn't step up and say, hold on, you know, to come to the rescue, not necessarily have to beat up this kid, but this should come to pull him to the side, you know, to stand up and say, you know, enough, don't do this, to step up for the person that's being obviously victimized, oppressed right here by the broken arm.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
And I heard that even his sister with hijab, that she was also, I don't know if you, we didn't watch that, but his sister was attacked also.
Oh, I didn't know that, but you see, that's really disgusting, you know, and I'm not saying because she's Muslim that it's disgusting, just
any
because
woman,
she's
yeah.
human.
Any human,
and
yeah.
Yeah, woman, like, you know, if it was either her hijab or her hair, you know, just anyone that doesn't wear a scarf and they just pulled the hair, that's very disrespectful. None of that should be happening, and I feel like it's not only for the person itself to have, you know, self-defense and to be able to defend herself, but also for the people around. You know, there should always be like a sense of care. You know, when you see something wrong, you should, you know, stand up and make sure to stop it. Mm-hmm. And always help the weak or the voiceless, you yeah. know.
This is something important, especially, and this is why your contribution to this, because bullying is a huge epidemic. And really, my hats go off to Henner and his brother, who actually invited yeah. Hiron and Henner, who invited him to come out, and they helped to start a campaign. I know the brothers. We've had one of them here with us at our academy. We're good friends with the family. I was one of the first reps for the Gracie fan, that part of the Gracie okay. fan, and then we moved on to Carlos Gracie Jr. But I started with the Torrance okay. Academy, and then okay. we were the first that opened in Chicago, our training center here. So I know the family. That's when my first schooling comes from that particular okay. academy. So they invited him out to help him. So what I want to say is, now you as a mixed martial artist, you have a louder voice and a bigger responsibility, because you guys are now professional fighters. Someone else out there, the big shots, Tyron Woodley, who else? Someone who comes, I don't know, who comes out to my mind. So was it Ben Askren or George St. Pierre, you know, whatever, you name it. If more people like that come out and to speak out, right? Because professional fighters coming out and saying, because people around in this atmosphere thinking it's cool, but they come out and they set the trend, so that's not cool, you know what yeah. I mean, speaking out against it like you are. You're also more involved in the anti-bullying campaigns, is that right?
Yes for sure. I started the anti-bullying campaign about in the beginning of 2017, and it's something that's been with me since I was a kid. You know, when I was a kid, I see a bully you know, traumatizing another kid or something, I'd always hit that bully or like try to stop him. And that stayed with me up until like high school, you know, like with physical, like if I'd see someone hit another student, someone less strong or something, I'd always stand up for them. And now when I had this platform, when I had, you know, being known as an MMA fighter, I was able to start my own program in Dallas, Texas for like anti-bullying. And I found a lot of success in that with like... the local kids, you know, boosting their confidence, if they're, you know, a bit weaker character, or disciplining the kid and having him more respected and more disciplined if he was like the more aggressive type and energetic kid. So we had all types of categories of like the characters that came in, and each one had a better positive effect through martial arts, through sports. And, you know, I'm very proud of this program. And I had to pause it for a while when I was in training camp for this last title fight. But I'm going to restart it right now in January because it means a lot to me. And it makes me very proud. Like I said, with this platform, I feel like it's a big responsibility for me to give back to the community. Mm-hmm. And through one of the ways is through this anti-bullying program.
How does this work? Let's say a professional fighter comes up that people look up to, and then he speaks out, and he looks down upon, and he creates awareness that, okay, look, if you want to be tough, I'm not saying or advocating that people should jump in the cage and fighting. No.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that everyone now can go ahead and get that energy that they have and learn a martial art, right?
Yeah.
To be able to defend themselves. And if they want to go and exhibit some kind of force, they can go do it in a healthy competition.
Yes.
Do it in a productive manner rather than going and bullying some kid on the street and someone else like you come out. So what do you do actually when you come out and you speak? You know, do you speak to high schoolers, college students, teens?
Yeah.
And what exactly the message that you bring across to them?
So 100%, you brought up a really important point is I try to have everyone enter, you know, martial arts, you know, everyone. And I never tell them, like, you know, I want you to enter so you could become a fighter and enter competitions. That's the last thing on my mind. Like, if you wanted to get into this professionally and as your career, that's your choice. That's like in the end. But I feel like everyone should enter martial arts because the training you go to in martial arts, be it, you know, jiu-jitsu or kickboxing, whatever it is, the training you go to really describes life. You know, you go through hard positions, hard days, possibly maybe injuries, you know, like diets. So many things happen in the martial arts world. And it's just like life, you know, you go through crisis in life and then you think it's the end of the world. Same thing as in training. You go, you have a really hard practice. You think that's it, you know, it's a bad day. It's a, you know, you're not, you suck at this. And then later on, you start seeing, you know, you're becoming better. The more pressure you're getting from training is actually making you better. The more pressure you're getting someone, you know, maybe beating you up in training, it's actually making you stronger and better. And when you start relating martial arts to life, it really helps you. We always say, like, the hardest thing is here in the gym. When you go back outside, anything outside the door, it's so much easier. Mm-hmm. After you become, you know, a martial artist. So I always promote martial arts to people as it's going to help them in their life, no matter what their situation is. And for me, I go to schools. I go to, you know, companies just for people like that need the motivation. They start lacking motivation and get tired. So I talk to people and I try to relate to them of what they're doing to, you know, everyone else is going through a struggle to fighting. Everyone else is going through a fight. Mine might be a bit more physical, but everyone else is going through a certain fight in their life. And in the end, you go back to the same, you know, pillars of how to win this fight. You know, it's like the discipline and the consistent work. So I feel like, you know, training, martial arts, and fighting is all related to everyone. Everyone can relate to that, but in their own way. If it's studying, you know, you have to be more consistent with your studying to get to pass your exams. If it's your work, you know, you want to get a raise, you need to work hard in order to get that, you know. I feel like training martial arts can help everyone relate to what they're looking for.
Do you see other or a lack of awareness created by other people who are in this profession? Do you see more people speaking out against it?
So, I mean, so not all martial artists are the same.
Yeah.
So, you know, some, you know, get really famous and they start getting rich and they start, you know, losing their ways, you know, just partying and stuff. And some people are very humble and very respectful. Like we have a brother, Khabib Nurmagomedov. He just won the UFC belt like a month ago or so. And when he won, he went to Nigeria and he helped, I think, build a well or school. And, you know, you have some guys that always, you know, they do good. The more money they make, the bigger platform they get, they use that to do better and give back to the community. And I feel that's a big responsibility. Other guys, like I said, you know, sometimes, you know, the money and the fame gets in their way and they just lose it. But you know, I don't really look at others. I don't really care about what other fighters are doing. I care about what I'm doing and how much I can give back to the people. And be it talking, be it physical help or money, or, you know, I try to do certain things with various kinds of people from around the world. Mm-hmm. And I'm just trying to use this platform to help more.
I think this is real important, because not discussing, like, you know, because there obviously there is the halal haram aspect of it and whatnot. And I talked about on my show before. You're already involved in the sport, right? Yeah. You're already involved in it. And what I try to do is motivate people just like you, that now you made a decision. You're an adult. You're a solid adult. You know what you're doing. Okay, you've weighed things out. You've now won this belt. Okay.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you know that the creator of the heavens and the earth, is this gonna carry you tomorrow in the grave?
No,
all
no.
The money that you make, are you making millions now?
No.
Inshallah.
But, you know, maybe, one day.
But all that stuff, we're leaving it behind. You're going to take all that tomorrow. You start riding nice cars and, you know, big homes. Is that going to go with you?
No, it's
but
not.
Tomorrow, you know, I try to motivate, you know, and I'm sure you're also the, your brother-in-law. He's one of my friends, Sheikh Omar, right?
Sheikh Omar Suleiman.
And I'm sure you probably hear this a lot from him, but, you know, and others, that now when people are given this responsibility, this platform, what are you going to do with it now?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Are you going to help make a difference? Are you going to help make a change? You follow me? While others, you know, they get overexcited with the platform and they use it for their own benefit, but they don't give back.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
I mean, when I first won this, you know, like I've been fighting for this for 2 years and a half, like in this promotion, winning every fight, undefeated in that promotion just to reach this. And especially the last 4 months of training camp, you know, this is all I was thinking about, is winning this. But, you know, it felt good the first day or two. Then now, to me, it's just like, you know, metal with, like, leather, you know. It's not really worthless, but the reason I carry it around is because the hope it gives the people I see, like, you know, little kids, when they see a belt, you know, their eyes glow and, oh, wow, you know, world champion, and I want to be a world champion. And this, the things it does to other people, you know, I'm still, like, showing it around to, like, the little kids and doing these little events. And that's the reason I do this. You know, like I said, it's not something, like, it's not a hobby right now for me. It's a responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of people looking up, watching every move I make. So if I do something good or something bad, there's a lot of people watching. So I make sure it's always something good. And it's not something I'm doing because I became a world champion. It was always there with me. But like I said, it's our responsibility now because I'm on a platform and there's a lot of eyes watching to try to, you know, show the image of the religion, of just being human as well. Like, you know, I'm not always helping Muslims only, you know, non-Muslims as well. We do food drives. We do a lot of, you know, good things just to people here in the USA. And it's just about also being human, you know, good humans, good Muslims, and just helping around.
That's that, because I said everyone has a message they're sharing. They're sharing someone else's message, copycatting, passing other things, negative, setting negative trends, but setting good trends, being good examples. Yeah. And there's this powerful, and it's different than the average layman says it, but when you have someone who you mentioned, your friend, our brother Habib, when he mentioned in front of a huge group of people, then that obviously, you know, the camera recorded it and went out to so many, where he said, stay connected to God.
Number one important, most important for us, stay connected with God.
Right? Yeah. Strong. That's powerful, right? So now he went on to say, stay connected to prayer.
You always have to pray. You always have to stay humble and stay focused and stay connected with God.
He said, keep it humble, right? Where what do you see usually if someone wins a belt, right, wins some money, then the pride kicks in, the arrogance, right?
The ego.
You've seen that, huh?
Of course. And that's what made him, you know, where he is. You know, he's 27-0, undefeated. And that mentality he has where he wins and then he always thinks back, like, all thanks to Allah. You know, alhamdulillah, he does sujood. He always says, you know, this isn't because of me, this is because of God. And that's what makes him really, really good, you know, because he's a very humble person. He always gets back in there. Like, when you think about it also, like, in career-wise, he always gets back in the gym right after he fights. And he's just always looking to improve. And then religion-wise, you never see him win big fights and just change the way he thinks or change his car, change his, you know, even if you got a new car, there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm just saying, the way he is, he just stays as he is, as a good, humble person. And I've met him personally, and before I met him, a lot of people I knew had met him, and everyone always had good things to say about him. They're like, and the most word they can always say is he's very humble. Mm-hmm. You know, if you never watched him fight, if you never knew he was a fighter, you might not know that as well. If you just met him, mm-hmm. He's a very nice guy. So that's a very, very important thing that I feel like every fighter or person with a platform should have, like, mm-hmm. those characteristics of being humble, being nice, and just always sending positive vibes and messages.
You know, the most important thing that people also know that he's doing this because what's teaching him to do this?
Yes, his religion, Islam.
That's what's teaching him to be humble, right? Otherwise, we'd be following our desires and, you know, our egos. But Islam is what's keeping him in check.
Exactly.
Right? That's keeping him humble. That's teaching him. That's the sponsor of these good actions.
Yeah.
And for yourself also, right? So when we highlight that, then people think like, wow, I want to be like that. Now I don't want to be like Mike. I want to
be
I want to be like who he's following, right? He's following the man who was sent, you know, just like Jesus, Moses, and all the other messengers, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him. That's our example, right? That's the person that we're emulating. And this is where we get our teachings found in Islam. So when people start to really think like, wow, this is interesting, I'm going to look more into it, I'm going to block out for now, you know, all the hype with the media and the Fox News and all these other politicians and others who are trying to divide us, let me go for myself and really look for it objectively, openly, and let me see what's really captivating these people and having their lives, keeping them humble, connected to God and all that, you know, living these simple, humble lives. And who knows what can happen from there.
Yeah, I mean, some people, they're very selfish. You know, they just want to have the pleasure of, you know, the very fancy lifestyle when they have the money and fame, you know, the parties, the cars, the trips, whatever it is. And then you have other people, like, they feel they have the pleasure of helping others, you know, like, When you do good, when you help someone out, when you see someone, you know, having a really bad day or going through a problem, and you help them out, and you see that happiness in their eyes, you really feel a pleasure inside. Like, you know, you feel like you did something great. But then whenever, you know, you're just trying to live that fancy lifestyle, really from inside, I know they're not happy. You know, sometimes they put on the fake smiles, the fake happiness, and how much is that going to last them? Like a day or two or a week? But really, when you're really helping others in so many various ways, I'm not saying, you know, donate all your money, you know. There's so many ways you can help other people. It's, in Islam, it says even a smile is a charity.
Yes.
You know, when just a smile, you smile to someone, Assalamu alaikum, peace be upon you, it's a charity. So, like, in so many ways, you feel good about yourself, and that gives you real meaning. You know, there's no meaning, I feel, to life if you have, like, millions and you're hated by others and everyone's just jealous and envious of your lifestyle and you're not really able to really have a meaning in your life. I feel like that's not something I want to do, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, using the platform, and even if you don't have a platform, I'm not saying just for the people with a platform, but even if you don't have a platform, you can affect anyone. You know, you can affect your family, you can affect your friends, you can affect the work you go to, the school you go to. Like, everyone has a certain platform they can use, a radius of people around them, be it in real life or in social media or in some way that they can help spread the message of Islam, which is peace and love. And I think that's a responsibility everyone has.
Yeah, this is something that, you know, when people see the commonality, I mean, the love we have for Jesus.
Yes.
You know, Islam simply meaning submission to the will of the Creator and not the creation. And every time I made some videos talking about, you know, some of the things that Khabib says, and when he says Alhamdulillah, all praises to God, inshallah, God willing, and then it's not so foreign to people. People are like, wow, that means peace be unto you, right? Oh, Alhamdulillah, they're thanking the Creator. It's kind of like Hallelujah, right? So when you bridge those gaps, right, it becomes less of the other. People think, oh, that's, you know, something different, that's other. But when you define it in the English and people, they can relate to it. Allahu Akbar, right? They think, oh, was that a war cry?
Yeah.
No, that's praising God. God is the greatest, right? Yeah. Greater than that money, greater than his belt, greater than fame, anything, you know, that God is the greatest. You put your Creator first and foremost. How's your father?
He's great. My father, he was one of the biggest supports for me in this sport and in life.
What's his name?
Hussein Mubarak.
Give him my salams.
Mubarak. Inshallah, yeah. Yeah, he is. I will. So he's been a great support for me throughout my life, and then specifically throughout my career. You know, when I first started, he was always there with me in the fights. So, like, we usually fight on Fridays. So if we fought locally in Jordan, he'll give the Friday khutbah, you know, like noontime. And then at night, we'll be in the MMA cage, you know, fighting for one of these big fights. And we've done that a lot. And so he's always there with me, like either cutting weight or training with me or, you know, coming to all the intense training sessions with me. After the fight, you know, when we do our programs, go to schools, and, you know, he's just always there. So we were also known in the beginning as like a father-son type relationship of like fighting, and we always said this is a family business. You know, I bring my whole family into this because it's not a hobby. Like I said, it's my career, and everyone has to be part of this in my family. So, mm-hmm. He was, I would say we're 50-50, you know, like if we would divide it, like the work and everything, he's always there, and he's a big part of this success. And my first title I actually gave to him, and I was like, you know, this was your dream, and we made it happen, so, you know, I'm going to give this to you.
So he's been one of your greatest inspiration, your father?
Yeah, greatest inspirations and motivations since the beginning, you know. Now, you know, we've been in this for like 7 years, so he's always like studying tape on my opponents. He holds pads for me. We do like our strength and conditioning together. And he lives in Jordan right now, so I lived there for a while when I was training. We do everything together. Now we only get to train with each other when I'm there visiting.
Does he visit over here at all?
No, he likes to stay there. You know, yeah. He just living the retired life. He's just enjoying his time. Training, you know, he also teaches religion in English over there in Jordan.
So he speaks fluent English?
Fluent English, of course, because he was here for like, we were in Baton Rouge, Louisiana for like 27 years.
Yeah. He lived over here.
Yeah, he lived over here. He was an imam here for 27 years.
Yeah.
He was actually the imam, he was actually the sheikh for Omar Suleiman.
He was his sheikh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was his sheikh. And then he moved to Jordan and he became a teacher there, religion. And he's just enjoying over there. He's teaching religion. He trains right now. And when I fight, you know, we travel together and we take care of business.
MashaAllah.
Yeah.
So what does your day look like? You know, when you wake up, and now does Islam help to make your day go by smoother? Because obviously now Ramadan comes around, you're fed, like Habib, he says that's it. When Ramadan comes, I stop everything. I don't go into the, you know, he doesn't go, he takes a time out, because that's that spiritual boot camp that we do, right, along with the five pillars. But how do you incorporate with your prayers and whatnot? And
so, like, for me, a regular day would be like I'll wake up for Fajr, you know, pray Fajr, then go back to sleep for like an hour, hour and a half or so. Then I'd go do my strength and conditioning training in the morning. After that, I'll get some light grappling in, like just techniques, because the strength and conditioning can be very tough. I'll go back home, you know, have some lunch, pray Dhuhr, and then I'll go to the mosque. I have a program over there as well. There's like a Quran school, like a Hifz school. I'll do like PE for them over there in the mosque.
Mm-hmm.
So it's called PE class, but I give
physical
them,
education.
Yeah,
like you do some.
It's called physical education class, but I give them martial arts.
Yeah,
because they enjoy it, and I feel like it's something they should learn, and just it's a more enjoyable way to do physical education. After that, you know, I go back, you know, relax a bit, pray Asr prayer. Then I have my own program going on, the anti-bullying training sessions for like the kids like 5 years old until like 11. After that class, I have a older class, a men's class. Those are like adults. We'll do that, and then I'll go to the gym. By that time, it's Maghrib prayer, so I'll pray in the gym. You know, everyone there is used to me praying. You know, first they used to talk to me while I was praying, like, "Are you okay? What's going on?" But Now they're all used to it. I have my own room, you know, there. I pray over there, and then I start my MMA training. It's about like 2 hours and a half. Finish training, pray Isha, you know, sit with my teammates, maybe my coach, you know, have a good time, and then go home, have dinner, and repeat.
Somebody hearing this maybe for the first time, they might be thinking, wow, that's a lot of praying. You guys pray a lot.
Yeah, it's five times a day.
Yeah. But I usually make the example. I say, well, how many times are you calling your wife to tell her you love her?
Yeah.
Right? The guy's like, you know, I love you, baby. Or she's calling her man, her husband, I love you. And like maybe calling him 20 times a day.
And prayer is basically a communication between you and Allah, between you and God. So how many times do you communicate with your friends? Like you say, how much time do we spend on social media communicating with other people, you know, sometimes random people? How many times do you spend, you know, on the social media or calling? So it's the same thing. Praying is a communication between you and God. So you need to balance, you know, the communication between you and the most important, between you and God, which is the most important communication. And then how much time do you spend with these other communications, you know?
Yeah, right. That's a good point. You know, communicating with everyone else, you know, in the world, but not taking, you take a time out to thank your Creator, to be grateful, to show gratitude. You know, and grateful people are happy people. It's proven.
Yeah.
So showing your gratitude, connecting with your Creator, that's a wonderful thing. And it doesn't, does it get in the way?
No, of course it doesn't get away. It's actually the total opposite. It actually helps, you know. Because, you know, when you pray, you could ask for anything. And sometimes I pray and I ask for, you know, to not be injured in this next training session that's going to be very intense. Or I pray for the strength. Or, you know, so many things you could pray for in your prayer. So I actually feel like it gives me a positive boost and motivation to continue throughout my day all the time.
How much was Muhammad Ali? Have you studied some of the life of Muhammad
Ali? I did. And I loved it a lot. The things he would say, like he had certain quotes. I wasn't able to really get into his life details, but like certain quotes he would say, certain videos, you know, the tributes they made to him, that, you know, like how he would not fear any man except for Allah. You know, as a fighter, you know, you always have that thinking of, you know, you're not scared of anyone. But then you have like, there's only one person you're afraid of, and he's a Creator. And just so many things, the way he carried himself out. And at the same time, when it came to God, he was very humble. Mm-hmm. But when it came to like, you know, opponents, he was like the mentality type of like not scared and like undefeated type of mentality. Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful, man. When a person can be busy, you schedule your day around the prayer, like making sure that you don't miss that, because that's your lifeline, right? Because a person can have everything and then they try to squeeze in. I like that. They try to squeeze in the salat. You know?
Yeah.
No. You make sure that everything else gets squeezed in, but this is your priority, right?
Yeah. So even when we were in the Middle East, sometimes there would be training sessions where the salat time would come during the training session. We would pause, everyone goes make wudu, and we pray. We pray during the training session. Everyone stops. And that's just how it was. That's how everything went. And alhamdulillah, you know, it was a great brotherhood. you know, salah was never in the way. Mm-hmm. It was always like just a positive effect.
Yeah. Many people don't know that we pray like Jesus prayed. You know, Jesus fell on his face and he prayed to the Creator. The same way we pray, we fall on our face and pray to God. And this is a strong connection. When people see that, there's something about the prayer. When you stop and you pray and then they're watching you, like, what is he doing? You know, you're going to show gratefulness. You're taking the highest part of man, putting on the lowest part in the ground. You're humbling yourself to your Creator. There's no statue in front of you. You're not praying to a man, to a saint, to anything in creation, but to the Creator of creation. And people observe that. They respect that. When you're dedicated, disciplined, and you stand for something, not just yourself, like you said earlier, you're just selfish. It's just about me, right? No. And afterwards, it develops you that you're able to give more. And that shows a lot when people see that. You know, have you ever noticed that? Have people observe you? Has any one of your friends, anyone mentioned anything about that?
And I feel like, you know, it could be a good thing and it could be a bad thing. Like, once you're praying and you're showing everyone you're praying, you also need to make sure that outside from praying, you're also a good person. Because you can't just pray and they're like, oh, he's praying, and then you're a bad person. You treat everyone with disrespect, and then they start relating these two together. Like, oh, he's praying, so that means he's religious, and he's such a disrespectful person, so that must be part of his religion, you know? So once you're praying and you're showing everyone you're praying, you need to always represent the peaceful and loving side of the religion. And so then they can make that positive relationship of, oh, he's praying, he's religious, and he's a good person, so that means it's a religion of peace. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's a big responsibility. Again, mm-hmm. when you show everyone what the religion is and you're praying, you need to always give back and be positive, peaceful, and loving.
I remind people that if the prayer, the fasting, the charity, the hajj, all these things, these are rituals, but these rituals are supposed to help develop you to become better. These are the things that we do that are supposed to help us to become better human beings.
Yes.
And if they're not making, I mean, we're going to fall short. We all make mistakes.
100%.
Obviously, we're not yes. perfect. But these things we go back to help us. You know, these are the things. Without these things, it's very difficult, you know, to rise to your full potential. And this helps us to get to that. And I like how you made that connection where the deen is not just, okay, you go into the masjid, you pray. Now you left, as they say, you left Allah, you left God in the masjid. But then you go out and you're ripping people off, you're lying, you're deceiving, and then it's worthless.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, like I said, it's a responsibility, you know, and it should be in your character. It should be just like who you are as a person. And like me talking about myself, like I feel like, you know, just talking about the religion and praying and just being good, I'm not perfect myself. You know, I make many mistakes, just like how I'm a regular human being. But one thing is I try, you know, I try my best. And that's just me, you know. I'm not going to sit here and just say like, yeah, I'm perfect and I pray and I'm just the best person every person I see, you know. No, I try my best, you know, and like I said, you know, especially with the platform I have, you know, I'm going to try my best to always give back to the people.
How's your nutrition? And how important is that in your training?
It's very good, you know.
What do you like to eat? Like, what are some of the things that you, because that's the fuel. That's the fuel you need, right?
Yeah, so for me, I try to keep my nutrition very clean, very natural, very healthy. I try to keep it as my lifestyle, not as crash diets, where I just diet really hard for like 3 weeks or 2 weeks and then I just destroy that. So, you know, I do still have some on and off times where, like, you know, I'm eating more cleaner than other times, and it's really just about the same food I'm eating, just different amounts of, like, less vegetables, more proteins, less proteins. But I'm really like a big fan of the less ingredients, the more natural ingredients type of foods. You know, when you start reading labels and there's names you can't even pronounce, I try to avoid those as much as possible. Just really the basic foods. Like, it's funny how people always talking about the newly developed diet, the scientific and all that. But really, if you want the healthiest diet, you go to like the older days. Like, you know, like more of like, you know, just the basic of like vegetables, proteins, even carbohydrates, but all the natural sources. But once you start going to like company-made foods, processed foods, and just like chemicals and all that, that's what really, you know, it gets tricky. You start having bad metabolism and all these sicknesses, cancer. I don't know, like, I just try to stay as natural and healthy as possible.
Yeah, we call that, so avoiding the, I usually term it the fake foods.
Yeah, foods, the sugar, like the bad sugars. I don't want to say sugars because then you have like honey and like dates. That's sugars, but that's really healthy sugars, you know.
That's real food. That's still
real food.
Food.
Yeah, real food. But then you have like all the, like these processed type of
fake food. I call it fake food. Yeah.
You know, and it's not about the calories. Oh, it's not about the protein. So you have these sweeteners, zero sugar, zero calories. But that stuff is not good for you either.
No, it's garbage.
You know? So just, you know, not really looking at the calories, but really looking at the health benefits of what you're eating is really good. Like, not even, I'm not saying leave meat and just become vegetarian. Like, there's real food out there, like real cow meat, real chicken. Mm-hmm. But then you have like some companies, you know, when you get the items, they're cheaper items or just more processed. You know, fake foods, avoid that.
Yeah, that's the key to health. Yeah. I mean, we've been talking about this for some time now, that people are distinguishing what's real, what's fake. But you said it right there. Yeah. When you start reading ingredients that you can't pronounce, you need a PhD, right, in chemistry to go ahead and figure this out. That's probably fake food. Leave it alone. But just eating the food that the Creator has given us. You know, real food doesn't come with a list of ingredients that you can't pronounce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, for us,
have you always been like that, where you've always like been cautious of what you eat, or more when you got into the sport?
So I mean, I went into like the phase of like the processed foods, but like the healthy processed foods, where like, oh, instead of eating a banana, you can eat this type of protein bar, and you'll get this and this and this and this. And then I saw like there was a lot of processed ingredients in them.
Yeah.
So. Right now, sometimes if I would eat like a certain energy bar or a protein bar, it would be really made from like just natural ingredients of like dates, nuts.
How do you like the shake I made you?
That shake was actually really good.
Uh-huh.
And speaking of the ingredients, one of them would actually get you thinking that it wouldn't taste good, which was the eggs.
Uh-huh.
So the raw eggs in the shake,
yeah,
that would get you thinking that it's not going to taste good. But drinking the shake and... knowing after, I mean, for me, I don't really mind the raw eggs. I used to drink raw eggs, but I mean,
most people,
for other people, they'll just get that reaction of, you know, it's not something they would drink.
Yeah.
But I'm always down to try new things. But it was a good shake.
They actually did there was a documentary. I think it was called Sugar, or I forgot the name of it. But what specifically this person did was, like you mentioned, the healthy. Processed, you know, candy bars and under the term healthy, he just ate that. There was another guy who, obviously, we know about that. He just ate the processed fast foods, McDonald's, and then they followed him and how his health deteriorated. But this guy in this documentary, he just ate the healthy food that's out, the yogurts and all this stuff, full of sugar, you know, full of chemicals, just that. And then he went from being healthy to being really unhealthy.
Wow.
And just showing the gimmick behind it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I feel like when it comes to these diets and these food items, it's all about business in the end. You know, anything that someone's trying to sell you, I told my friends, anyone's trying to sell you something like a diet or trying to sell you something really fancy, like, oh, try this and avoid this type of food, and I feel like don't do it. It's always like a fade just to get you to pay money. Go down to the basics. Like in the Quran, everything mentioned in the Quran right now through science, it's known as a superfood. Like when we're talking about dates, honey, figs, those are all superfoods, you know. Olives, now everyone's talking about like the keto diet and high fats. You know, this is all mentioned in the Quran about, you know, each food over there. And I'm talking about natural, organic, all this type is what you should be on, you know?
Yeah.
Now, of course, just like how I'm not perfect, my diet isn't perfect either, but that would be like the best diet. It's just natural, organic.
Real
and I'm
food.
Talking about real organic. Even when you go to the market and it says organic, it doesn't always mean like it's organic as you would think, you know?
Mm-hmm.
When I used to live in Jordan, that was kind of organic when we would actually raise our own crops.
There you go. Yeah.
You know, we'd have chickens and we'd eat the eggs. And there's a big difference in the taste from between that and the organic eggs and the non-organic eggs.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, not everyone can eat everything they grow.
Yes.
You know, but if you can, that's actually really good.
So that's what I try to push off to people, real simple. That's like white belt level. Eat real food, avoid fake food. Real simple.
Yeah.
Eat real food, avoid the fake food.
Even if you can't do it 100%, there's always levels to it, you know, like fried food, avoiding fried food like in fast food restaurants or something, you know, avoiding the high processed sugars. I would say that would be one of the most important steps, is avoiding the high processed foods, be it sugar or like chips or like everything high high processed. So you could tell, like, you could start by steps. I'm not saying change your lifestyle 180 degrees in one day, but like slowly, gradually doing it so it could become a lifestyle, yeah. Not a crash diet.
Exactly. If you can get it up to 70-80%, somewhere there that you're eating clean, yeah, like, yeah, that, yeah. Working up slowly. Like I say, exactly. Belts, white belt, slowly, exactly. Blue belt, keep moving up.
Eating out in restaurants, you know, change the type of food you're eating, you know. Instead of like maybe fried chicken and fries, get like a good salad or, you know,
yeah,
a chicken salad or something. Like, you know, and then you start eating more home foods. I love eating home foods more than restaurants, really.
Keeping it balanced. That's absolutely. That's where, actually, that's a step above, because when you eat out in these foods, that the MSG and then the extra everything, sugar, all of the ingredients to excite the taste buds, but at the end of the day, it comes at a cost. But when you're at home, that's one, then you can go ahead and monitor what you're actually putting into the food. That's a step above, eating at home.
Yeah.
So, man, I really had a great time hanging out with you
me
today.
Me too, as well.
Inshallah, we'll have you back, God willing. Inshallah. Back on again on the Dean Show. Give salams to your brother-in-law and also to your father.
I will.
And inshallah, we'll have you back again sometime.
Thank you. Jazakallah.
God bless you. Jazakallah. Yeah. Salam alaikum to Allah.
Salam.
And thank you guys for tuning in, setting good trends, being a good example. What else did we cover? Staying connected to your Creator, to God, keeping it humble, keeping it respectful. These are the kind of things that are positive, and these are the kind of things that need to be highlighted and pushed out of a message that resonates with the good inside all of us. So set good trends, do good things, and inshallah, we'll have you here back on the Dean Show. Subscribe if you haven't already. Hit the notification bell. Every week, new show. We'll see you next time. Inshallah, until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
This is the Dean. Assalamu alaikum, my brother Khabib.
Wa alaikum salam.
How are you?
Say alhamdulillah.
What's the number one most important thing for you and should be for everyone, Khabib?
Number one important, most important for us, stay connected with God. You always have to pray, you always have to stay humble and stay focused and stay connected with God.
What else you want to say, Khabib, for the Dean Show audience?
Without God, we cannot do nothing. Everything is nothing. You know, number one, believe on your one God.
Thank you, Khabib. This was fun. Nice having you. But we're looking forward to having you on the real show, the Dean Show. What do you say, brother? Let's do it.
Just send me location. Thank you so much, guys. This is the